When someone gets a serious disease and doctors don't know what it is, they call Dr. William Gall. He is one of America's leading medical detectives. Dr. Gall is the founding director of the Undiagnosed Diseases Program at the National Institutes of Health. His work's made him a 2011 Service to America Medal winner in the science and environment category. Dr. Gall, it is a privilege to talk to you. Congratulations on winning your award, and thanks for your service to the country.
Well, thank you very much. Obviously, there are a lot of people who contributed to this, and something like this couldn't be done in any places in the world, but I think beyond the federal government and the National Institutes of Health.
Talk about combining the concept of being a medical doctor, as you are, and a detective, helping people determine what things are that some people have either never seen before or never seen in the forms in which they're seeing them.
Well, it's true. We have a dual role. We want to take care of patients, so we want to help them to reach a diagnosis, especially after they've been so long without one and suffered so much with that uncertainty. But we also want to make contributions to the medical literature and medical knowledge by discovering new diseases. And it's really this program that combines those two with the help of an awful lot of consultants and experts in both the fields of science and medicine.
In the synopsis of your selection as a finalist, the Partnership for Public Service wrote, Dr. Eric Green emphasized, he's the director of the National Human Genome Research Institute, emphasized there have been significant benefits for many individuals who have been, quote, abandoned by the medical system. Is this a situation where folks come to you and their doctors come to you just not having even any idea where to begin, or is it a situation where we've exhausted all of these possibilities and now Dr. Gall might be able to tell us which direction to go next?
Well, it's really the latter. People, in order to be accepted into this program, have to have had a lot of basic and even tertiary investigations to eliminate either common or even rare but known medical disorders. That's when they come to us, and that's when we call upon all of our consultants and really state-of-the-art genetics and current knowledge in the field to bring to bear. And even with that, we're generally unsuccessful in actually reaching a definitive diagnosis. But we do come to a diagnosis probably about 25% of the time, and that's really not bad considering that these individuals have been to major medical centers elsewhere. And I think we also offer a lot of consolation just by virtue of the attention that we pay to these poor folks who have been sort of foundering for a long time.
That was the element, what you just mentioned there, is the element that struck me as I read through this. These are not folks who just go to their local doctor and their doctor can't figure it out, so they go to the hospital and the hospital can't figure it out. Talk about the institutions where these people are coming from, where even they have been unsuccessful at trying to figure out what people are dealing with.
Well, most of the patients whom we accept have been to a major medical center, and many of them have been to the Mayo Clinic, the Cleveland Clinics, Stanford, Johns Hopkins, Mass General, Duke, places like that. And some of them have been to three, four, five of those different places. But there are things that we can offer that generally involve next-generation genetics, you know, the thing that Dr. Eric Green is really promoting and is an expert in. And so we can offer that here, whereas they may not always be able to offer that at the other places, in part because of third-party payments.
The story that's in this synopsis, and we link this up at federalnewsradio.com, and if you haven't read it yet, just go read this. If you ever have any questions about whether people that work for the federal government are committed to what they're doing, go and read some of these Sammy's things because they're unbelievable. Your team, Dr. Gall, discovered the genetic cause of a vascular disorder not previously identified in medical literature. The rare condition identified in 9 individuals arises in adulthood, causes arterial calcification in the hands and feet, but doesn't affect arteries in the heart. Symptoms include pain and walking more than a couple of blocks. Is there a process that you go through in trying to identify these things, or is each case so unique, so individual, that you really are starting from scratch every single time?
Well, you know, there are commonalities. And the first thing we have to do is to eliminate known possible causes for any particular constellation of findings or clinical manifestations. So we do go through that. And that, of course, requires a large fund of knowledge about the extant disorders that, you know, qualify as candidates. But when it comes down to not having anything, any definitive diagnosis come out of that, then we do use some somewhat common techniques. That is to say, we use genetic analysis by analyzing the genes and any particular mutations in those genes and any variants that might be found in an affected patient and, let's say, not found in other family members. So I think we do use a set of sort of tools that is for all the patients that we're stumped on in the end and we can't find through using conventional medical diagnostic measures.
You mentioned that not everyone is accepted into this program. There is an acceptance process. That must be just heart-wrenching to read some of the materials that are submitted to you and look at them and just think, I'm not sure there's anything that I can do to really help this person.
Well, it's not only heart-wrenching, but it's even worse when we get subsequent word that some of those patients have died. And that has happened on several occasions. We have probably 15 to 20 individuals who have died either just having been accepted into the program or even prior to being accepted, and a few that died afterwards. And really, that is the hardest part of this. It's the triage. You know, if you think about it, it's the same type of triage that medical personnel have to engage in on the battlefield in a way. Who's going to get a chance and who's not? And you're right, it's the most difficult part of our job.